Okay, so
introducing Eli Weber 901 on a Tuesday morning, Sefer Mitzvot number 235, Eved Kanani.
Okay, so I was dreading this a little bit because Eved Ivri turned out to be really good. Right? All the bleeding heart liberals could make their peace with the fact that not only wasn't it a cruelty, it was a form of bankruptcy protection that allowed people to get back on their feet. And not only, we concluded not only wasn't it a cruelty, but you needed to be kind of a saint to do it. Because in the end, you got your debt paid back, and then you had to give the guy a pension, and you had to support his wife and his children. Mm-hmm. It really seemed like one of the greatest forms of charity to have at Eved Ivri. Okay, so that was easy. The problem is, what do we do with Eved Kanani, where it wouldn't really be fair to try to make the same claim, right? The rules of Eved Ivri are different than Eved Kanani. And so what we need to do is, try to come to grips with, first of all, the idea of slavery, which is obviously not a Chiddush HaTorah, and it's not necessarily the case that the Torah wants us to have an Eved Kanani. One approach would simply be if you're going to have an Eved Kanani, which we're not in favor of, this is, these are the rules. But we'll see that it's much, much more complicated than that. And there's a whole other aspect to it, which I'll admit to you, I hadn't focused on at all. I was preparing the shiur. Like, one of the great things about giving the shiur is that you're actually forced to, look at sources and prepare. And I'll say this. I don't want to talk about it till later, but Eved Kanani has within it some kind of first cousin of conversion, right? And Eved Kanani isn't just a slave. He has a halachic status that's hard to define. I'm saying hard to define because I couldn't figure it out. It's because it's somewhere in between a Jew and a Gentile, but it's neither of those. And so we have a lot to do and a lot of fascinating issues that will come up along the way. Hopefully we'll come out with some general understanding of what the Torah's view is of Eved Kanani. But in the end, it could really be as simple as the fact that it's a mitzvah satorah doesn't mean it's a Torah value that the Torah wants you to do. The Torah doesn't want you to divorce your wife. If you get divorced, the mitzvah is to do it in this way, right? There's a whole category of mitzvahs that the Torah doesn't necessarily want you to do, but the Torah gives you the rules. And in the end, I just want to, that is and will remain a real option for us. That Eved Kanani is not a lechatchila thing.
Eved Kanani means a non-Jew.
Ah, so we have to talk about that. Does Eved Kanani mean a Kanani, or does it mean any kind of non-Jew? We'll get to that in a minute.
Could it be someone who's in debt like a Jew in Israel who sells himself the same
way? The answer is it's not in the Pesukim. In fact, when you look at it, Eved Kanani is the back end of Eved Ivri. You can't miss the connection. In fact, we did Eved Kanani. Now we'll do it Eved Ivri. In source number one in Vayikra Perek Chafei, it starts with Eved Ivri. Psukim we should remember from a while ago. V'chi yamuch achicha imach v'nim karlach. See, that's what Ruth is looking for. If your brother becomes destitute and he has to sell himself, lo savod bo avodat aved, right? You're not allowed to treat him as a slave. I mean, Eved Ivri, as we've seen, is the better term for it is indentured servant. It's not a slave. Okay, rather, kisachir kitoshav yihyeh imach ad shnat hayovel yavod imach. He has to be for you like a regular worker, and he works for you ad shnat hayovel. If you remember, yovel, there's no permanent Eved Ivri. Mem aleph viatzame imachu vanav imo v'shavah mishpachtov alachuzat avotav yashuv. Right, the end of Eved Ivri is that he returns to his family, he returns to his family's homestead, and he has money, and he rebuilds his life. Why do we not have Jewish slaves? Membet. Ki avodai heim ashehotseiti otam meheretz Mitzrayim, lo yimachru mimkaret aved. Right, a pasuk that's more meaningful in this week's parsha. Because God says, I took you out of Egypt so that you wouldn't be slaves. Right, the whole point is for you to be other, to be some, to build a different type of society. Therefore, a Jew cannot be sold forever. In addition, Mem Gimel, Lo Tirdebo Befarach V'yaretim Elecha. You can't work him in slave labor, literally. You have to fear God. Va'avdecha va'amadcha sheyihu lach. Okay, so now Mem Dalet. Here we go. I'll add words that aren't in the Torah. But where are you going to get your work done from? Where are your slaves going to come from? So va'avotcha va'amotcha sheyihiyulach, the slaves that you have, both male and female, me'et ha'goyim asher svivotechem mehem tiknu eved ve'ama. You need slaves? Get them. Me'et ha'goyim asher svivotechem. So the answer to Mr. Weiser's question right now is, it doesn't say just Canaanim, but it sounds like, you know, surrounding nations. Now that just may be the fact. You know, you couldn't import slaves, you know, in the time of the Torah. They didn't import slaves. So the answer is, if you need slave labor, take it from the surrounding nations. Memhe. Third line from the end. V'gam mibnei ha-toshavim ha-garim imachem mehem tiknu. You can also take as slave labor non-Jews, geirei toshav, who live amongst you. Umi mishpachtam asher imachem asher holidu bi'artzichem v'yu lochem la'achuza. And from their families that... Now, why does it have to be a ger toshav? And this may or may not tie into Eved Ivri, because the answer is, we're not supposed to let the Zayin Amim live amongst us. Right? That's a halacha. We're supposed to get rid of them. So there's not a ready supply of Gentiles in your neighborhood, because there are none. So the answer is, if they're a Gerei Toshav, and for our purposes, a Gerei Toshav is a Gentile who accepted upon himself the Zayin Mitzvot Bnei Noach, he accepted upon himself a basic level of morality, therefore he can live amongst us. Meaning, if you're a guy who worships Avodah Zarah, you can't live amongst us. Mm-hmm. But if you accepted the Zayin Mitzvot Bnei Noach, then you can.
Will this one take, you can go in on radio?
One second. Memvav, no, it doesn't say you can. It just says if you're looking for now, we'll have to get there. Vihit nachaltem otam, Memvav, 46. Vihit nachaltem otam livnechem achrem l'reshet ahuza le'olam bahem ta'avodu. I bolded those words because that is seen as the source. Le'olam bahem ta'avodu, meaning they should work for you forever. You inherit their children. That's the mitzvah ta'aseh. We'll see in the Rambam, we'll see in the Monemitzus, there is a mitzvah of Eved Kenani, which again is an interesting, it became the shorthand for Eved Kenani. It doesn't mean Kenanim, it means anybody in the neighborhood. U'ba'achechem b'nei Yisrael ish be'achiv lo tirdeh bo b'farach. Right, you see the contrast? The slave can be from the Gentile nations, but your brothers, the Jews, lo tirdeh bo b'farach. You can't subject them to slave labor. Okay, so the basic question is, so what exactly is this mitzvah? Right, we're about to read in the Rambam that there's a mitzvah of Eved Kenani, and it's based on the words La'olam Bahem Ta'avodu. So is it the case, as Bruce is trying to hint, that it's like a mitzvah to go out there and grab, you know, anytime you see, right? That's unlikely to be the case, but it's an interesting possibility. I'll give you a funny example. Even if the answer is that the mitzvah is to subjugate, Kenani through slave labor, it's still not exactly clear how it would play out. Let's take a funny example. The Torah says there is a mitzvah of shechita, right? When you slaughter an animal, when you slaughter a cow, it's a mitzvah. Okay? So I'm walking to shul, and wouldn't you know it, a cow passes me. Am I under some obligation to slaughter it because it's a mitzvah? So the answer is, of course not. If I want to have a steak, you know, the way to do it is to slaughter the animal. So it could be, if I want to have an Eved Kenani, right, then, you know, these are the rules by which I do it. But I don't want to dismiss the possibility. Maybe there really is such a mitzvah. Or maybe there's less of a mitzvah. Let's look at the Rambam, who I tell you up front will not be that helpful. The Rambam says, because he doesn't really, the Rambam says as follows, Ba'mitzvah ha-reish lamed hei, mitzvah 235. He shetzivanu bidin Eved Kenani. That's always a giveaway. Bidin Eved Kenani means we're commanded to do the din of Eved Kenani. Okay, yeah, but what's the din of Eved Kenani? So he helps a little bit. V'hu shena'avod bo le'olam, that we, let's just say, we have to subjugate him. He has to be our servant forever. V'she'ein lo cheirut ela b'shein v'ayin. Okay, our first important halacha. The din is, as we saw in the bottom line of number one, le'olam bahem ta'avodu. But there's a huge loophole. The loophole is called shein va'ayin. What it means is, if I poke out the eye or the tooth or really any extremity of a slave, he goes free. So the first question is that a technicality, or does that go to the essence of the concept of Eved Kenani? What do we think? You understand the question? Is it just some loophole? Really, I'm supposed to, you know, they're supposed to be my slaves forever, but if I somehow, you know, damage them in some kind of permanent way, they go free. So here's the two possibilities. It's Gzeres HaKosov, I don't know why, it's a loophole. Well, the other is, no, it's much more essential. What it really means is, even they can't be mistreated.
Right.
Even, you know, despite the fact that the Torah tells me that I'm supposed to subjugate them and make them my slaves, or I'm allowed to, there's a line I'm not allowed to cross. Right? You could say, hey, it's my property. Right? I'm allowed to crash my car on purpose if I want to. Right? I can't crash into somebody else, but, you know, it's my property. Says the Torah, no. With respect to an Eved Kenani, it's not exactly that way. How do I know? Because if I cross a line, if I damage the Eved Kenani in some kind of permanent way, he goes free against what seems like what the Torah wants of lo'olam bahem ta'avodu. So I would tend to the second explanation, which is shein va'ayin is not some technical thing, oh, by the way, if. Shein va'ayin teaches me the essence, which is, no, the Torah is a pretty moral thing. And on the one hand, you know, maybe our morality doesn't rationalize slavery, but even within a world that rationalized slavery is limited in the sense that the guy's going to go free if you cross a line.
Was there a mitzvah if there were avodah zarah people in the land of Israel on the debate then, or someone would say, you know what, we have to make them Eved Kenani? Or like it was in a war over the border?
It's 9:13. What else am I going to do? I got time. I'm going to deal with this. I'm going to deal with it. Okay. I promise you. This is, I'm not blowing you off. Because I want to deal with that, because it's going to go to the essence of this whole thing.
Okay.
So good. Now, so back in the Rambam, second line of number two. V'hu adin l'shar roshei eivarim she'enam chozrim k'mo sheba bo haperush hamekubal, meaning it's not just the tooth and the eye, it's any extremity that's not going to regrow. So what does that exclude? I can only think of one example. Baby teeth. Right? No, if you could grow it back, you don't go free.
So you can't take a baby as a Eved Kenani.
Who's that?
Luke Williams is making stuff up. Let's see.
Yeah.
Okay? Anyway, I could only think of baby teeth. If you could think of something else.
Well, unless it's a category.
Toenails.
What do you mean?
It's not just shame behind.
It's not just shame behind. It's finger. No, the Mar says 24 extremities, which I understand to mean 10.
Oh.
You know, two ears, I don't know, a nose. If you're a male, you know, that, whatever. I think that's the story. Yes?
Why did the Torah compare Shen V'ayin?
Right, that's a whole fancy limud, which you're right, exactly right. Mr. Wise is a good question. Why Shen V'ayin? Why not, you know, arm? Why not leg? Why not fit?
What, Shen V'ayin?
Yeah, there's some limud. Leave it, we got too much to do. Okay. And the Rambam just says in the last full line, that they have to be your slave forever. Okay, so the Rambam doesn't really get to the answer, the question of, is the mitzvah to subjugate them and to make them to slaves, or is the mitzvah simply to not allow them to go free? Once they're a slave, va'avado le'olam. Right? They have to be slaves forever.
When we dealt with Eved Ivri, we said le'olam.
It's fascinating. I wanted to make that point. I'm glad that you made it. It's almost like a funny contrast that Eved Ivri, we said, La'olam doesn't mean La'olam. It means La'olam of Yovel. And here we see La'olam Bohem Tavodu. Oh, no. Here we really mean La'olam.
Right?
The contrast, you can't miss the contrast. That's why I put in number one. It's the same parsha in the Torah. It's not like we're so smart that we're seeing these the Torah put it together to make the contrast between Eved Ivri and Eved Kenani. Now, let's start with a side point, but it's such a famous Gemara. It comes up all the time because it's so useful in analyzing mitzvos, and it really is bizarre. Source number 3, the Gemara in Gittin, Lamed Ches Amud Beis, says as follows, Gufa. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Kol HaMishachrer Avdo Over Ba'aseh. So the first thing is, this is really helpful to us. If you free your slave, you're in violation of an aseh. Shenemar lo'olam bahem ta'avodu. So in the Gemara, this is just helpful. In the Gemara, what's the mitzvah of Eved Kenani? The mitzvah of Eved Kenani is you're not allowed to free an Eved Kenani. Not that you're supposed to run out and grab Eved Kenanis, but if you have an Eved Kenani, he is supposed to be your slave forever. Okay? So it's what's called an Isser Aseh. What's the mitzvah Aseh of Eved Kenani? The mitzvah Aseh of Eved Kenani is that you're not allowed to release an Eved Kenani. Okay? Now, with that as background, here comes like this fascinating case. Everybody there? Here we go. Second line, Meisve. Where is the question? Ma'ase b'Rabbi Eliezer shenichnas b'veis ha'kneses v'lo motza asara. Oops, could happen. Rabbi Eliezer came to shul one day. I always assume it's the morning, but it's not at all clear it has to be. There was no minion. Okay? V'shichrer avdo v'hishlimola asara. So he freed his slave in violation of an Isser d'oraisa. No, we need a minion. So somebody must have been saying Kaddish. So here's the newsflash. I'm saying Kaddish. It's not a mitzvah d'oraisa. It might not even be a mitzvah d'rabbanan. Nobody thinks that making a minion is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Right? You know, it's a yard site. I need to make a kiddush. The only thing I have is chametz, and it's Pesach. Okay, but it's a yard site, so I'll eat chametz. Nobody told me that. Right. There are values in the Torah. There are things. There's no way that a mitzvah d'rabbanan could be docha a mitzvah d'oraisa. Right? It's a bizarre story. Question number one. Question number two, which we'll deal with later, is, wait, he's an Eved Kenani. Yeah. How do you count him for a minion? Okay, so you freed him,
right.
But that doesn't turn him into, you know, that doesn't turn him into a Jew. It's almost like, you know, I said, okay, I had an Amma Kenani, a female slave. So I said, so I freed her. Everybody would go, yeah, but how does she just can't make a minion? She's a woman. Right. Well, he can't make a minion. He's a guy. Okay? The Gemara, no one asks that question, because as we'll see later, there's an unbelievable, it could be that when you free an Eved Kenani, he becomes Jewish. Okay? Which will...
Not automatically.
Has he had a Brit Milah?
We're going to learn all these things. Okay? Right. I just want to point out, the second question the Gemara doesn't ask. The question was so obvious to me. How does this guy count as a minion? Right? It's like I brought an infant to shul, and he was an infant guy, but then I freed him, and he's still an infant. Right? The freedom thing doesn't make you count for a minion. Okay, back inside. So the Gemara says, how could that be? If there's an Isser to free an Eved Kenani, how could it be that Rabbi Eliezer freed his slave to make a minion? Answers the Gemara, mitzvah shiny. It's different. Because he's not just freeing him because he likes Gentiles. He's freeing him because there's a mitzvah to make a minion. Which is not, you know... you can ask a million questions on this. Like, isn't it a mitzvah haba ba'aveira? Right? If it's really usur to free an Eved Kenani, how could the Gemara say that, well, but in the context of a mitzvah, you could do it? It sounds strange. We'll come back to that. Back in the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, last full line in the middle, lo'olam bahem ta'avodu rishut, div Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says, no, it's not really a mitzvah. Lo'olam bahem ta'avodu is permission. If you need a slave, you're allowed to take a slave from the Gentiles. Rabbi Akiva says no. Chova, it's a mitzvah. Okay? So right now, and that's how we pass it. There is a mitzvah of Eved Kenani. The range of possibilities here is interesting. Right? The mitzvah could be, I have to have Gentile slaves. Looks like in the Gemara, the mitzvah really is something much less. The mitzvah is that I'm not allowed to free a Gentile slave if I have one. Okay? But not that the Torah wants me running around grabbing Gentile slaves. Okay? Back to the Gemara. Look at source number 4. The Ramban says, he asks our question on this Gemara. Ha da'amrinan mitzvah shayni. Remember the Gemara said that Rabbi Eliezer freed his slave to make a minyan, and we said, how in the world could you do that? And the Gemara says, no, you could do it because it's a mitzvah. Says the Ramban, timhani. I'm staggered by this. V'chi mipnei mitzvah lehitpalel b'tzibur, which is drabanan at best. Dachu asei shebatorah. Could it really be that for a mitzvah drabanan, they would doche a mitzvah d'oraisa? So that's against every rule we know. Says the Ramban, second line, v'efshar shelo amara Torah la'olam b'hem ta'avodu, elo mishum shelo litein lahem matnat chinam. Says the Ramban, it could be that we misunderstood the mitzvah of la'olam b'hem ta'avodu. It doesn't mean that you have to make them your slave forever. What it means is that you can't, lo techanem is an isser in the Torah, which we understand to mean, generally speaking, it's understood narrowly to mean that you can't give them land in the land of Israel. Okay? But a different pshat in lo techanem is you can't give them matnat chinam. You're not allowed to give idol worshippers gifts for their benefit. Because it seems like you're supporting idol worship. There are all these interesting tshuvos about, you know, can you give your secretary a Christmas gift? Let's say you lived in America and you had a secretary.
Holiday gift.
No, Christmas gift. Okay, so one answer is, I don't give a Christmas gift. I give, you know, a happy December gift, right? So part of the discussion there is lo tichanein. And the general answer is, it's interesting, the general answer is, that's not matnat chinam. You know why you give your secretary a gift? So she'll keep typing your letters. Because she'll be upset otherwise. You're allowed to act out of self-interest. So says the Ramban, you misunderstood the prohibition of freeing an Eved Kenani. It's not because we want to subjugate, you know, Kenanite slaves. It's because we're not supposed to be supportive of Ovdei Avodah Zarah or Gentiles. But in this case, you're not freeing him because you like him. Why are you freeing him? Because you need a minion. So mitzvah shayni, in that case, we're allowed to do it. Aval, last full line in 4. Aval kishuhu mishachrero mipnei shenotein dmei atzmo. But if he bought his freedom, you're allowed to accept the money. O mishum mitzvah v'tzorech harav, because the master has a benefit in letting him go. Deleka chanina mutar. Okay, so long as you're not doing it for his benefit, it's mutar. So you see already a whole range of possible understandings of the case of Eved Kenani. Now let's take a good look. The Chinuch does a very good job in explaining what the mitzvah is, and then he'll raise some interesting issues. Source number 5. It says the Chinuch. If everybody's enjoying the cookies, that's great. I just want to say I'm happy. Shena'avod. Shena'avod be'eved Kenani le'olam. Okay, now what has to happen is... No, it's not. The hint was pretty obvious. Now somebody has to ask a question so that I can take a break.
We're to test them first to see if they're very suitable for you.
What do we mean?
If they're good enough for you.
The cookies. You're talking about the cookies.
Oh.
Okay.
No, we still don't know how we actually got this road command.
I got time.
If you free him, he has to he would have to have had a Brit Milah. Okay,
we're getting
get to that. Okay,
Chino. All right. Source number 5.
Okay,
says the Chino.
Can bring in the Chinese workers.
Yeah, delicious cookies. I hope somebody died for these.
Rabbi Lewis, he brought them in.
Is it like an occasion?
Rabbi,
son got married.
What's the occasion?
Tuesday.
Really? There's nothing.
Well, that means next week is also Tuesday.
I'm in favor. It's la'achar. It's the last day of Achar HaShabbos. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Right? You know what? These cookies should remind us. If anybody forgot to make Havdalah,
today
is the last day.
Well, you couldn't eat the cookie before.
That's why we have somehow. You know, I did, by the way, when my father passed away on Shabbos. Motzi Shabbos, I was an Onan.
Yeah.
No Havdalah. Uh-huh. But no Chi of Havdalah, no Isser to uh-huh. eat. Right. It's not really an Isser to eat. By the way, do you ever eat dinner before you daven Marav? Guy. Here we go. Says the Chinuch. Shana avod the Eved Kinani.
Your wife is Chayav Havdalah.
Huh?
Your wife is Chayav.
She is. But when you're an Onan, you're not. Meaning
you're
it's not.
Not.
Right. So we made Havdalah the next day after the funeral.
Okay.
Shena avod be'evet kinani le'olam. The mitzvah is to have them be your slave. Kolomar. And now the Chinuch says it. What's really the mitzvah? Shelo nishachrer oto le'olam. We're not allowed to free him. It's written as a mitzvah saseh, but effectively it's a mitzvah slo saseh. The mitzvah of evet kinani, you're not allowed to free them. Which, by the way, Bruce, puts your question away, meaning there's no mitzvah to go out and get it. The mitzvah is, if you have an Eved Kenani, you're not allowed to free him. No, you can't talk it. He can't go free. Ki'im b'shein v'ayin. If you miss, which I'll translate as you mistreated him. Right, this is Mr. Weiser's point. It's not just shein v'ayin. It's anything that's similar to shein v'ayin, tooth or eye, which means hands and fingers and other extremities and ears, etc. Kilama evarim sheinan chozrim, right? Things that if you cut them off, they're not going to return. Second paragraph. Va'amru zichronam livracha bi'inyan eved kinani. Now, don't go, I don't want to deal with this yet, but I'm putting it on the table. Okay? What's the case? Shemitapel bo adonav ad shana. You can have an Eved Kenani for up to a year. Wait, that doesn't make any sense. You can have him forever. No. Im rotze lichpor ba'avodah zara ulahanicha. If the guy is willing to renounce avodah zara and leave it, v'sheyimol, he has to get a bris milah. Now we're completely off the plantation in terms of like what it means to be an Eved Kenani. First of all, you need his consent. He has to renounce avodah zarah, and you're not allowed to beat him into doing it. He has to get a bris milah, v'yitbol l'shem avdut, and he has to go to mikvah l'shem avdut in order to become a slave. What does this sound exactly like?
Conversion.
Except at the end of the conversion process here, you don't become a Jew. You become an Eved Kenani. And I know everybody's asking the same question.
So what's the point of conversion?
No. The point of conversion is you become a Jew. What's the point of Eved Kenani?
Yeah.
Meaning, who would want to be an Eved Kenani?
Well, it's on the way.
I'm putting it on the table right now, which is the last thing you would have thought is that Eved Kenani is, for lack of a better word, voluntary.
Yeah.
You could take a guy against his will, but you can't keep him. Now, why you can't keep him is obvious to me. And the Torah doesn't want you to have an Ovid Avodah Zarah in your house. It's a bad influence, right? It really is. You subjugate him. It's like you have somebody in your house, right? I'm not saying it's an Issur D'oraisa. You have a person who works for you, who celebrates Christmas and has a Christmas tree. Yeah. It's got to impact your kids. It's got to impact your family. My turn. No. Okay? So it's voluntary. So you have up to a year. Okay? You could take him, give up to a year. And then, one second, here's the last staggering thing. So first, he renounces Avodah Zarah. Second, he gets a bris milah. Third, he does tefillah l'shem avdus. And last, end of the page, v'yitchayev b'mitzvot shahanashim yisraeliot chayavot bahem. And he takes on the obligation of doing all mitzvos that women are mechuyavos in, which basically means every los asay and every asay other than mitzvot shazman grama. Exactly. Okay? It doesn't mean he has the halachic status of a Jewish woman. It just Chazal just said that that's what he takes on. If he's willing to do all that, mutav, great. Ve'im lav, asur lanu lahashotam beveitenu yotermi yud bet chodesh. There's a time limit. There's an expiration date. If you can't convince this guy within 12 months, I'll say it in my words, that he wants to be part of your family, albeit, you know, he's like Cousin Bob, who nobody likes, right? He's like a second-class member of your family, but he's a member of your family, then he's part of it. If not, mochrin otomiyad, he has to be sold. Who's he sold to? Not exactly clear. Maybe he can be sold to another Jew. Seems unlikely. He has to be sold to a Gentile. Va'al eila ha'avodim shemalu v'tavlu l'shem avodat nitzavinu la'avod bohem la'olam. And with respect to these people, a person who agrees to all of these onerous obligations, then we have a commandment, va'avodo la'olam. Now, in this context, va'avodo la'olam takes on a completely different meaning. Right, to my way of thinking, at this point, va'avodo la'olam means he's part of your family forever. You can't fire him.
Oh boy.
When he gets old, right? You know, I could stomach Cousin Bob right now. He's pretty functional. But when I got to take him to the bathroom and I got to take care of him, you know, I don't want to. Here, va'avodo la'olam takes on a different meaning. Right? It's like you're committing to each other. He's becoming part of your family. Okay? So I'm just saying, we've now, you know, flipped on its head everything we knew about Eved Kenani. Now, if we want to be more comfortable, the Chinuch returns us to a world where we're actually taking advantage of them.
Okay.
Although, but he does it in a thoughtful way. He says, Umishar Sheha Mitzvah. Right? One of the rationales for the mitzvah, right? First full paragraph on the second page. I was trying to figure out what that sound was. I see it's you. You're actually doing it. You just shut off your sound. Okay. Lefi she'am Yisrael. You'd have to have discipline rules.
I'm trying to tell Danny in Macedonia what we're talking about.
Lefi she'am Yisrael, heim mivchar hamin ha'enoshi. The Chino says, the Jewish people are the chosen people of humanity. V'nivra lahakir boram v'lavod lefanav. And we were created to recognize God and to worship Him. V'reuyim lihiyot lahem avodim l'shamesh otam. And it makes sense, he says, that we should have slaves or workers, you know, who would help us. V'im ein lahem avodim min ha'umot. If we don't have Gentile slaves, al kol panim yitzarchu lehishtabed ba'acheihem. V'lo yuchlu lehishtadel ba'avodato baruch hu. Then we'll have to do the work. And we won't be able to go to shul, and we won't have time to learn Torah, and we won't be able to do all things we have to do. Al kein, therefore, nitztavinu lahachazik be'elu litashmishenu. The Torah said, take slaves. Achar shehuchshiru v'ne'ekra avodazara mipihem v'lo yihiyu lemokesh bebatenu. The Chinuch's approach is pretty selfish for us. Right? We need help. God wants us to have a good life. God wants us to be free to worship Him. That would require us to have help. So basically, if you could find somebody who gives up on Avodah Zarah and is willing to be part of your family, right, and he'll serve you, then we have a right to do it. God wants us to do it. Second paragraph. Okay, I know you're not going to love it, but that's what it is. V'zehu she'amar ha'katuv achar kein. That's why that's the connection, he says. It says, "Uba'achechem b'nei Yisrael ish b'achiv lo tirdeh." You can't take advantage of the downtrodden amongst the Jews. Implication being, you need somebody to take advantage of in some way, right? It's not fair to say take advantage of, but you know, you need somebody to help you. So use the Gentiles. Klomar ubechein lo tidstachu lihishtabed ba'achechem v'tihiyu nechonim kulchem la'avodat Hashem. So you won't use Jews, and you'll all be able to worship God. Va'afal pi sheyesh b'mashmaut ha'katuv sheyavol lehazhir shelo lihishtabed ba'avodat parech be'eved ivri Shivim panim liktuvim. He says, yeah, it sounds like the drush of the pasuk is not about Eved Kenani. It's really just, he says, the pasuk says, don't enslave the Jews. The Chinuch says it's true, it says that, but you can still darshan that to say, don't enslave the Jews, but you need slaves, so enslave others. Now, if we wanted to do some kind of historical, sociological way to do it, the problem is we don't know who the Chinuch was. We love him, but we don't know who he was. We have some sense, a good guess is like 1400s in Spain, but nobody's really sure, so it's hard to... But clearly he lived in a society in which slave labor was pretty normal, and that, you know, within certain parameters, it seemed okay to him. Now, let's finish the chinuch. Umihiyot yisod ha-mitzvah. If the foundation of the mitzvah is kidei sheyirbu b'nei odam ba'avodat boram baruch hu, really what he's done is he's turned the mitzvah of Eved Kenani to be something that's necessary in the service of God. Right? We're going to need slaves to work for us if we're going to be able to go to shul and devote our lives to Avodas Hashem. It's not so convincing, but it's a beautiful way to look at it. Right? If God wants you to devote your life to Him, you're going to need help. And you can't get that help from other Jews because they're supposed to devote their lives to God also. So you get that help from Gentiles. Okay. Hitiro, end of the first line of that last paragraph in the Chinuch. Hitiru chachamim zirchonam l'vrachal la'avor al... Now he's coming back to our thing. Remember we started with that strange Gemara that said Rabbi Eliezer freed his slave to make a minion? The Chinuch's still bothered by that. How could that be? But his theory now is going to work perfectly. He says, if the whole purpose of Eved Kenani is to worship God, you can see where this is going to go. Hitiru chachamim zichronon livracha la'avor al mitzvah zo b'chaleit sheyivtol shebitul mitzvah zo yihye goreim le'mitzvah acheret. He says, obviously then, Chazal will allow us to violate the rules of Eved Kenani any time it helps in the worship of God. Because that's the whole point of Eved Kenani to begin with. Va'afilu bishvil mitzvah d'rabanan imhi mitzvah d'rabim. And even just for a d'rabanan, so long as it's a public mitzvah. Here it comes. Kigon shaloha yu asara bebeit ha-knesset. He didn't have a minion. Utsrichim l'shachrer ha-eved u'lashlim ha-minyan. And you needed a minion. So what the Chinuch says, that Gemara is perfect. Why can you free your slave to make a minion? Because the whole point of having slaves in the first place is so that you can worship God. So of course, it's just an exception. It's an exception to the rule. Meaning it's not that how can I be over a mitzvah d'oraisa of l'olam bohem tavodu to make do a mitzvah d'rabbanan of a minion. The answer is, the mitzvah d'oraisa of l'olam bohem tavodu is use these people to serve God. Va'al yikshe alecha. Don't ask the question, v'eich nidchem mitzvah ta'aseh zo d'oraisa b'shvil mitzvah d'rabbanan. Ki mipnei shi yisod ha-mitzvah. I'm on the third line from the bottom, it's great. Mipnei shi yisod ha-mitzvah eino elo kidei laharbot avodato baruch hu. The mitzvah of Eved Kenani, says the Chinuch, is to worship God. To give you the help you need to worship God. So of course, if freeing him is going to allow you to do a mitzvah, you could free him. What happens, assuming you free an Eved Kenani and he becomes a Jew? There are more mitzvahs to be done because now he's a Jew. So Chazal said you could free him to make a minion and for other purposes. Okay? So, shorthand. The Chinuch says that the mitzvah of Eved Kenani is not so much a mitzvah, it's a prohibition to free them. You're not supposed to go out and get an Eved Kenani, but if you have an Eved Kenani, it's also to free him. Now, what's the purpose behind the concept of Eved Kenani? The understanding is, God put us on this earth to worship Him. We're going to need help in doing that. It's interesting, like, none of us have it. Like, we all live lives. Maybe the answer is our lives are so much easier now. We don't need the kind of help that the Chinuch needed. One second. So he says, we're supposed to worship God. We're not allowed to use other Jews to do that work for us. So the answer is, of course, we can use Eved Kenani. But if the whole purpose was Avodas Hashem, so any time freeing an Eved Kenani helps in my worship of God, I'm allowed to do it. Yes?
It occurred to me that our Eved Kenani today is technology. all of the hard work that used to take many people is done by various technological advances that we have in our homes.
Well, I can't wait for the day that you could free your computer, make a million. my understanding is it's coming that day.
Well, that's the foreign workers.
Yes.
Couldn't you use this Gemara, because the Eved Kanani is only responsible for just the mitzvot that like a woman is, you could take this Gemara and say, here's a non-Jew, and you make him, you get free him, why don't you just take a woman, make the minion from there? Because obviously he's only doing the same mitzvot.
Ah, okay. So the answer is, the implication, now we'll deal with it, is that when you free an Eved Kanani, something happens. So let's look as much as we can for a few minutes at what exactly the halachic status is of an Eved Kanani, and you see something fascinating.
And he doesn't take on the responsibility for all the other mitzvot.
Okay, here we go. Here's the Gemara in Chagiga, Dalar, Manalef, source number 6. Kol mitzvah shaha isha chayevet ba, eved chayav ba. Any mitzvah that women are mechuyavos in, an eved is mechuyavin, which would make your eved kanani be chayav in kiddush. Would make your eved kanani be chayav in matzah. What?
Well, kol mitzvah isha
chayev. Right.
I don't understand that.
Give me a chance. Eved chayav ba. Kol mitzvah she'ein ha'isha chayevet ba. Ein ha'eved chayav ba. That's the rule. So, again, it's bizarre. The guy's a guy. Like, what does it mean? None of it makes any sense. So now, look at, I guess, now look at source number 7. The Rambam says in Hilchos Yisuri Bia, Perek Yud Bet, ha'avadim shehit Bilu otam l'shem avdut. Okay, you took a regular Canaanite and you made him go to mikvah. V'kiblu aleihem mitzvot shahavadim chayavim bahem, and they accepted upon themselves all mitzvot that they have to do. Here's a great line: Yatzu miklal ha'akom, they are no longer Gentiles. Uliklal Yisrael lo ba'u.
They're in limbo.
But they're not Jews.
They're not, yeah.
Okay. They're like Bein Hashmashos people.
Yeah.
It's not day and it's not night. Right? Okay. Right? It's a staggering halachic concept. The Rambam doesn't even have the words to describe it. He can only describe it by what they're not. Right? What are they not? They're not Gentiles. What are they also not? They're not Jews. There's some status. Now the question is:
does this ever really exist?
Huh?
Did this ever really exist?
Yeah. So this, yes, and in the end, I'll tell you how it could exist again. Good news. Ooh. Okay. But so I'll say that now, just because case I forget. See, Eved Ivri was very clear. Those rules only apply when there's Shemitah and Yovel, not Bisman Hazeh. But Eved Kanani applies Bisman Hazeh.
It's in Shulchan Aruch. And say, I want to be.
It's in Shulchan Aruch. Now, of course, it doesn't happen, but I'll show you something amazing in a second. Okay, look at number 8 now. Here's the Rambam in the next parak of Yisurid Bia. Yud Gimel Yud Bet. Kisheyishtachrer ha'eved. Okay, let's say he's lucky enough to be the 10th person for a minyan, or under other circumstances. By the way, which in theory is a violation of the Torah. Kisheyishtachrer ha'eved. Well, he's not supposed to ever go free. What happened to lo olam b'am tavodu? Okay, but when he goes free, sarich tefillah, he needs to go to mikveh again. Acheret bifnei shloshab biyom shebo tigamer geiruto v'yihiyeh ki Yisrael.
Why ki Yisrael, not Yisrael?
No, it means Yisrael.
Oh, okay.
He becomes a Jew. Ve'ein sarich lekabel alav mitzvot. You don't have to have a process of kabbalat mitzvot. Ulahodio ikre hadat, and to tell him the foundational principles of Judaism. Shekvar hodiuhu kishetava l'shem avdut. Because you did all of these things when he went to mikvah to become an eved. So now it's hard not to see it as follows. It's hard not to see the status of Eved Kanani as being a step along the way of becoming a full Jew. Right? It's so different than where we started. Eved Kenani goes through this fake conversion process, at the end of which he's half successful. He's no longer a Gentile, but he's not a Jew. But as soon as he's freed, and so presumably the Gemara forgot to tell us this, when Rabbi Eliezer let his slave go free to make a minyan, the guy didn't run downstairs and go to mikvah. When he came up, he was a full-fledged Jew. No Kabbalah mitzvos, nothing.
You could do this with the Russians and the Ethiopians.
Genius. Okay, that's why I wanted to make that point. It's fascinating. People discuss this all the time. It started as follows. It started with Mamzerim. This is an interesting thing. For the most part, there's no way to fix Mamzerus, which is why there are no Mamzerim in Israel. Like, it's a death sentence forever, right? The Mamzer can never become B'Kahal Hashem. His children can never come B'Kahal Hashem. No, they can't marry anybody, except a Mamzer can marry.
Another Mamzer.
A Mamzer can marry an Ama Ashifcha Kinanis. Okay? So the suggestion was made, Bizman Hazeh. This is what the Mamzer should do. He marries a Shifcha Kinanis, they have kids, and the kids are freed. And then they become Jews. It fixes the problem, which led to Mr. Levy's incredibly offensive but brilliant suggestion, which is, why are we bothering all these Russians with all this Kabbalah, so all these things? Make them Eved Kenanis, and then free them. Right? And then they just become Jews.
But there is a Kabbalah in their initial avdus.
So, right. It's not just a technicality. Right. It's hard to know exactly, but the Kabbalah isn't everything. Right? If the hang-up is man hazeh, we don't trust our Kabbalah soul mitzvos, it's much easier to trust the Kabbalah necessary to make them an Eved Kenani than it would be. So aside from how offensive this would be, and how it would read like in the New York Times, where the Jews are enslaving, you know, the non-Jews, it's a suggestion that people talk about. You know, let's do it like as a Horaz Shah. We need to fix the problem right now. We'll fix the problem right now, and that, you know, it's really a fascinating thing that people kind of take half seriously. It's hard to know what to do. But the bigger point is, we've come so far in what it means to be an Eved Kenani, and now I'll make a suggestion. It's not that far off from the Eved Ivri thing. Meaning, you're a Gentile, okay? You want to get ahead in life. The Jews are great, everything's great. You could somehow become part of a Jewish family forever. It's true you're a second-class citizen. It's absolutely the case that you're a second-class citizen and that they can treat you as a slave if they want. But in the end, they're not going to. Because it's almost like adopting a Gentile into your family. The guy's going to be with you forever. And you're going to treat him in a certain way. And I read an article where they talked about, you know, what we call slave labor. Right? They're not slaves. You know, people who work in sweatshops and things like that. The worst part of all of that is that as soon as you're not useful, you're gone. Right? They fire you. So they take the best years of your life. You don't get paid that much money. You work literally like a slave. But there's no obligation. Right? There's no obligation from the owner of the factory. Here, the obligation is kind of two-sided. You're taking responsibility for this person. It's absolutely the case that this person is not your son. He's not your adopted son. He's your slave. But still, it's a different kind of relationship. This guy goes to the Seder. You know, he makes Kiddush. He does all the things. He doesn't eat chametz on Pesach. Right? It's just a completely different atmosphere than we would have imagined.
Is there any acceptance on the slave's part?
Yeah, we saw that already. If he says no, he's not your Eved Kenani. That's the amazing part.
No, but if you free him and he says, thank you, goodbye.
That's
when he's freed, he doesn't he have to accept the other mitzvot? Doesn't?
No.
He could say goodbye.
He could. And what does he become? He becomes a non-observant Jew. You're absolutely right. We have plenty of them. Right? But the idea is, if it was his choice, now, for sure it's the case that somebody could be so beaten down by life. Each says yes, he doesn't care. He just wants a meal, he wants a roof over his head. Sure, I'll have a bris milah. But that's a pretty big deal. You know, ask yourself how much money you would require in order to, you know, to have a part of your body cut off. You know, it's a big deal. Yeah.
So this year that he has, is this like a formal thing? You need a Beit Din? He comes to you.
It sounds that way, yes.
Yeah, that there would actually be, but he might need a Beit Din. It wouldn't be enough
correct.
To just say, okay.
Correct.
But we don't know because, yeah, I mean.
Right, so it's some in-between stage, okay. And it's hard to know.
Yeah.
But what does Noah mean then for
a for an Eved Kenani, it means forever.
But after the year?
No, because he's not really an Eved Kenani until once he becomes an Eved Kenani, you know, like he gets his T-shirt that says Eved Kenanis are forever, right? But he's not an Eved Kenani until he goes through that process. He's like a practice Eved Kenani.
I just hear that you have a home in Jerusalem and you have estates of land. Farm people are growing.
Okay.
You've got the farm down in the Jordan Valley next to the other country.
Okay.
And in some skirmish, you took some prisoners and you made them.
You want to talk about no matter what.
No, but you're not inviting them to your Seder. You're not taking care. You're not doing anything.
They're not Eved Kenani.
They are. What are you're now an Eved Kenani. And they say,
no, but you're making a thing of that doesn't exist in halacha. Well,
why are they not an Eved Kenani in this case?
Because to be an Eved Kenani, you have to accept all mitzvot.
Which he says
you
fine.
You have to have a bris milah.
He says fine.
Okay, so he's an Eved Kenani.
But it's not that you're taking him home. He's not.
Oh, you're saying he doesn't
family.
Sit at your Seder.
No, he's living on the farm with your other foreign workers. I mean, it's like, it's, you know.
But he got
his rosy picture just doesn't exist.
But
I mean,
first
it's
of all,
not Uncle Bob. I mean, it's like.
In Europe,
just because your picture is so depressing.
I think it's realistic. I mean,
okay. In my plantation,
like foreign workers in Israel, people don't invite them home even if they'd love to be Jewish. People say, thank you very much, stay in the housing project.
Oh, we love JR. He's our guy. My mother is threatening to go to the Philippines. She loves JR more than me. You know,
I'm just wondering how we got these people in the first place.
So I don't know enough to say that you're wrong. Experience has told me that you're wrong.
Just
because usually you're wrong.
But no, over the border,
the point is,
you don't
know any more than I do. Which is, I can't say that it never happens your way, but you can't say it never happens my way.
Well, yours is just very unrealistic.
Because of your vast experience with slaves.
You think if people just walk into
you
the country...
You used to live in Somalia,
Your wife's a historian. Ask her to explain it.
Okay, anyway, the one thing you have to admit to me, even you, is that the process of becoming an Eved Kenani and your status as no longer being a Gentile and not yet a Jew, and then when you get freed, you become a full-fledged Jew, it has to change how you think about it. It could be that practically people still mistreated them, and maybe that's why you need the following Rambam. Last source. The Rambam says, Mutar la'avod be'Eved Kenani b'farach. Okay, he holds like Bruce. You're allowed to treat these people poorly.
I didn't say
well, no, you
just
send
don't
them off
them to the Seder.
To your thing, whatever. No, you're insulting all the Jews. Everybody's mean. Okay? JR came to my father Shloshim. He doesn't worry. He wants to be part of the family.
We're familiar. We don't know JR.
Okay, JR. He's a tzaddik. Okay. So you're allowed to. Now watch what the Rambam says. Va'afal pi shehadin kach. That's the technical din. Midat chasidut. V'darkei chachma, the Rambam says, the righteous way to do it and the thoughtful way to do it, sheyeh adam rachaman, person be merciful, v'rodev tzedek, v'lo yachbid ulo al avdo, right, you don't make your slave do slave labor, v'lo yetzer lo, you don't make him feel bad, v'yachilehu, you feed him, v'yashkehu, and you give him drink, mikol machal, mikol mishteh, right, so we're both right. The Rambam says it's actually absolutely fine if you want to treat your Eved Kenani. It's legal for you to treat your Eved Kenani like a slave. The Rambam says, but don't do it. It's not a good idea. Jews shouldn't act that way. Third line, Chachamim Rishonim Hayu Notnim LaEved Mikol Tavshil VeTavshil Shayu Ochlin. Right? They ate together, the sense is. Not because it's a halacha. Umakdimin mazon habehemot va'avadim lisudat asman. They fed their slaves before they themselves ate. And now the Rambam goes on a little bit of a tangent, but it's beautiful. After the dots, fourth to the last full line in the middle, says the Rambam, ve'ein ha'achzariyut ve'ha'azut mitzuya ela ba'akum of the avodah zara. Meanness and hard-heartedness, that's a character trait of Gentiles. Aval zaro shel Avraham Avinu ve'ein Yisrael. But we, says the Rambam, shehishpi alahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu tovat ha'torah. We have access to the Torah. V'tziva otam b'chukim u'mishpatim tzadikim rachmanim heim al hakol. The Rambam says, and he really believed this, a religious person is a good person. A religious person is a merciful person. A religious person treats even his slave the way he would treat his children. Because that's who we are. V'chein b'midotav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu shetzivanu lihidamot bahem hu amer v'rachamav al kol ma'asav. We're supposed to be like God. God is merciful. B'chol ha'merachem, if you're merciful, merachamim Allah, people will be merciful to you. Shenemar, v'natan lecha rachamim v'richamcha v'hirbecha. That God gave you mercy, and He was merciful to you. So the answer is, says the Rambam, forgetting all the legal stuff. Jews are not mean people. Jews are not supposed to, you know. The Rambam's not saying that. I think the Rambam believed in the uniqueness of Judaism. But he says the point of being Jewish is to be a good person. And to be a good person includes your Eved Kenani. He's very clear. It's mutter to mistreat up to a point your Eved Kenani. It's also to do that to an Eved Ivri. We've seen that. But it's mutter. But the Rambam says that's not what the Torah wants. The Torah may permit it, but not that's not what the Torah wants. And to me, it's a really big deal to see how the Rambam kind of overrides halacha to give you advice. It's a very unusual Rambam. But the Rambam is basically saying, I'm not going to lie to you. It's mutter to mistreat your Eved Kenani. But that's not who we are, and that's not what the Torah wants of us. And the sense you get is, in the end of the day, that Eved Kenani is kind of like a bidi-Eved thing. If you need this help, you know, that's how you go about doing it. But even there, it's restricted. Right, the person has to leave behind his avodah zara. He has to have some kind of desire to become, you know, part of your family. And the part that I can't really explain is the automatic conversion to Judaism, because the sense is, right, the Torah doesn't want us to free an Eved Kenani. But what's so bad about freeing an Eved Kenani if at the end of the day he's going to turn into a Jew, right? I don't have an answer for that. I think it's fascinating, and you know, Bruce for next week is going to do historical research to see. No, you could subscribe to a thing called the internet, okay? And I don't know. Was there ever a time to do a massive amounts of evidence? I don't know.
What happened to the foreign workers?
Huh?
Why can people come work temporarily and they
so leave? That's the thing, because in a halachic society, everything is governed by halacha.
Halakhic foreign worker.
Okay, but I'm saying, I don't know what it's called. All I know so far, I keep looking, all I know so far is Eved Ivri, which isn't really, and Eved Kenani, which is but isn't. Right? It could very well be that in a world in which you're either with us or against us, there's no such thing as a foreign worker. Right? Because the answer is, you know, let's say JR secretly believes in, you know, in the Buddha. Then under halakha, I'm sure he does, but I'm saying, under halacha, you couldn't have that person in your house. So the choice is right. It's much more binary. In a halachic world, you say to yourself, what's the status of a foreign worker? And the answer is, if you live in the state, if you live in Teaneck, it's probably fine. If you live in Israel, and they're not supposed to live here, the choices are Ger Toshav or Eved Kenani. It could be as simple as that. Shkach.
Good. Guesswork.